You are now listening to the CRC podcast, brought to you by Pastor Act Bossoff. We trust that this message will change your life forever.
Come on, this is your promised land. This is your year if you believe it today. Give the Lord a mighty praise offering. Come on the floor, on the balcony, from the left to the right, whether you're a man, whether you're a woman. Give the Lord a mighty praise today in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Dream Week 2021, starting right now, right in this place today, to set the tone of what God is going to do this week. God's going to do something amazing. And you better be ready for God to work in your life in an incredible way. Welcome to TBN. TBN Year 2 One Gospel. Praise TV, Facebook Live, YouTube Live, CRC online radio stations all over Africa, correctional facilities all over Africa, people all over Russia, Israel, America, Europe, India, Pakistan, China, Africa. Let's give the Lord a praise. Come on, 11 million people in Russia alone watches this program every single week in the name of Jesus. That's a great miracle that God has done in this lockdown. And I want to tell you, before I walked out here this morning, God said, you are a people of great destiny, and you were born for this time to accomplish great and awesome things for your God. If you believe it, say amen. Tell the person next to you, you're looking great, you're looking good, and it's so good to be in this place today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. How many of you believe your best days are ahead of you? Come on, give the Lord a bit of a praise. Hallelujah. Come on, we're not about to roll over. This is our time. This is our time. Come on, say it this morning. This is our time in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Take your seats with me this morning and let me speak to you. Set the tone for Dream Week. Tuesday evening, that is our big opening. The stage being changed. We're working on the sound. But then Tuesday is going to be amazing with the opening. You don't want to miss it, okay? Live in Bloemfontein, also live on TBN. So it's going to be an amazing time. Then Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, that will be 7 o'clock every evening. And then next Saturday, women. There was an old song that said, marching for Jesus, marching for Jesus. We are going to be marching on Saturday, or we are supporting a march to the Union Building where women who say we've had enough of gender-based violence, we've had enough of rape, we've had enough of poverty, we've had enough of corruption, we've had enough of our children not allowed to come to our churches. They are gathering at the Union Building. There is permission. We support it. We're not leading it, but we are supporting it. It's time for women to stand up. The Deborahs, the Esthers, and whatever your name is, it's your time to stand up and to make your voice heard, because I think the government have taken our voices as men to be non-essential. So, beautiful ladies, that's all of you. From the age of 1 till 120, you are welcome. It's going to be 9 o'clock or 11 o'clock till 1 o'clock. And either the president or the deputy president at least will be there. Also, Nkosazana Zuma, Dlamini Zuma, the minister. And it's time for the women in this country to say, we want South Africa safe. We don't want our children to be targets. We want proper education in South Africa. We want freedom, come on, in South Africa, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you this morning as I start. And the subject, the title of my message, Ignite the Fight. A lot of people lost their fighting spirit because of this COVID pandemic. A lot of people asleep under the pomegranate trees. A lot of people have been robbed of many things during this dream or during this pandemic. And I believe that God is going to use this week to ignite the fight. And we're going to talk about that. He's going to ignite the fire. He's going to ignite hope. He's going to ignite faith. He's going to ignite vision. He's going to ignite passion in you. And you are going to be a difference maker, a history maker, a world shaker at this time. If you believe I'm talking to you this morning, jump to your feet, come on. This is not a normal church service. We are starting our Dream Week 2021 today in the name of Jesus Christ. So I want to talk about Moses a bit this morning. Moses is a great man with a great destiny, and we read Exodus chapter 3. The Bible says, no, Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the back of the desert, actually where he was hiding from his destiny, and came to Horeb, the mountain of God, came to CRC. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire. This is going to be a week of fire. This is going to be a week where God is going to ignite your passion in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. From the midst of a bush. So he looked and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside to see what those crazy people are doing in CRC. At this great sight, why the bush does not burn, why they refuse to roll over, why they refuse to conform, why they refuse to be silenced, why they refuse just to comply to everything. I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that, he turned aside to look. God called to him from the midst of the bush. You have to be in the right place to hear God and to experience the fire of God. And I want to tell you, as much as I thank God for technology, and we're all over the world in technology, we need our churches open, because the church is the dwelling place of our Lord Jesus Christ, where the fire of God is burning. Hallelujah. So when the Lord saw that, he cried out to him, Moses, Moses, and he said, here I am. You know, God can do nothing with your life until you hear his voice. I'm not talking about a religion. I'm talking about having an encounter with a living God. I'm not asking where you are. I'm not asking you what you did wrong. I'm not asking you about your past. I'm asking you if you are ready to draw aside and hear the voice of God speaking to you. Because in the presence of God, everything is going to change. God's going to remove all your pain. God's going to remove your shame. God's going to remove your regret. God's going to remove your inferiority. God's going to remove your apathy. God's going to remove your mediocrity, your fear, whatever it is. And God's going to ignite the fight in you. Now, some of us, before we were saved, we used to like to fight. Well, let's say some of you, not me, okay? And we knew. Daar sê Jerry, ja. Een van ons pastore was soos ek geweest. Rof en onbeskof, in elk geval. So it's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the dog, right? I mean, you can put the biggest Labrador against my pit bull. I don't advocate dog fighting, so don't run away, nature lovers. I'm a dog lover myself, and a cat lover, and an animal lover. And I believe those who are hunting animals down here, as you get to heaven, God's going to allow the animals to hunt you for a season, okay? You're going to say, okay, here's a deal for you. Kijk wat het jy aan al my dieren gedoen. Hardloop. All those trophies. Then he said, do not draw near to this place. Be careful when you come to God. Don't come to God the way you came last week. Don't come before God with your tone of disrespect and opinion. Come to God with humility. Come to God with brokenness. Come to God ready to allow God to speak to you. Says, take your sandals off your feet. Identity. He was a slave. Sandals. For the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father. So God reveals himself first. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Now that's amazing. Still today, people are afraid of God. Still today, when people sin or they mess up, they run away from God. Listen. Your sin does no longer separate you from God. When Adam sinned, God came looking for Adam to have fellowship with him. When Peter ran away from God, Jesus came running after Peter in Jesus' name. In the Old Testament, people were afraid of God. In the New Testament, the Bible says, whosoever. The Bible says, your sins and your iniquities I have forgiven. The Bible says the price has been paid. So in this Dream Week 2021, you are going to get yourself in the presence of God, and God is going to get a hold of you, and God is going to shape you up, ship you up, shape you out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, God is going to do something in you so that God can do something through you. Many of you, like Moses, are hiding from what God has called you to do. Some of you need to be reformers in the political arena. I spoke to a great man of God this week, and he said, Pastor, I'm in this battle, our country. God is calling me into politics. What sayest thou? I said, if God called you, what can I say? He says, but my wife, my children, my friends, nobody understands. I said, often when God calls you and God has an assignment for you, it's going to take people a long time to get it. Especially if God realigns you or shifts your focus in a different direction. So we can all look at the problems, but we're not called to be onlookers. We're called to be what? Problem solvers. We're called to find solutions for the poverty in South Africa. We are called to be the giant slayers, and we're not going to do it sitting and soaking. We're not going to do it looking the other way. We're not going to do it white-knuckled Christians waiting for the rapture bus. Somebody has to have a God encounter to reform education. Somebody has to have a God encounter to reform social injustice in South Africa. Somebody has to have an encounter with God to lead the crusades and to usher in the greatest harvest this world has seen before the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Come on this morning. If you believe you are that somebody in Bloemfontein, jump to your feet, give the Lord a praise, because you're not here by accident. Hallelujah. I know some of you are visitors and you're used to gentle Jesus, meek and mild. But you don't ignite a fight that way, because the wood has been wet for too long. So God did not come in a gentle little match. He came in a blazing fire. Some of you, your personalities are so strong that unless you meet a powerful God, you are never going to change. Because you're still the boss. You're still the top dog of your life. You're still in control. And all you focus on, as Moses did, is the here and now. Now remember, no, Moses was raised. Just a little bit of background history in the courts of Pharaoh. We know how he was saved. The first civil disobedience we see was after a law was passed that all babies had to be killed. And then there was a woman that put Moses, and she saved Moses and many other Hebrew boys and disobeyed Pharaoh's instruction to save the church. I mean, to save the deliverer, the hope of the future of Israel, because the church is the hope. No political party. We thank God for the government, and I'll say it until I get to heaven, because when we get to heaven, there's not going to be a place for the ANC, and there's not going to be a place for the DA, and there's not going to be a place for the Freedom Front Plus, and there's not going to be a place for the EFF. There's going to be a place for those who are born again, those who serve the purpose of Jesus Christ on this earth. And I, by that, I'm not saying don't engage in politics. You better get involved where God places you. To be a difference maker, to realize that your life is more than this moment. Your life has a purpose. And Moses lost his purpose, because Moses naturally, you can always tell what God has called you for, because it's in your natural DNA, your personality. So when you come to Jesus, he doesn't domesticate you. He doesn't tame you. He doesn't civilize you like religion does. Religion just wants to kill everybody, makes everybody the same, and take your personality away. And religion brings you to death, but never resurrection. To say, hey, you're a doctor, be the best doctor, be a top doctor, be somebody that's an inventor, find new ways. You're an engineer, be the best engineer. Because that's what God wants from his people. He doesn't need a lame donkey. He doesn't need a tame horse. He needs somebody that is ready to go. Somebody that is willing to let go of yesterday and embrace tomorrow. Somebody that is willing to exchange their failure for what Jesus did for them 2,000 years ago. Can I have an amen today? Somebody that will look beyond the here and now to the cross of Jesus Christ. So Moses, who is a natural deliverer, we find keys to his destiny. When two Egyptians fought with Hebrew, he killed them. He preempted the will of God because he knew I was meant to be a deliverer. How did he find his wife? At a well. When traders came and they fought with Jethro's daughter about the water, which became Moses' wife, what did he do? He beat them up. So he was naturally called to protect, as many of you are men, called to be involved, called to deliver. But because he preempted God's will and because he failed, he ran away from God. He ran to the desert. He got stuck in a COVID illusion that we can do nothing. You know, I read social media sometimes and people say, well, the Bible says in the last days, perilous times will come. Yes, and we are in the last times, but that doesn't mean we roll over and show our underbelly and we just say we can't do anything. No, my brother and my sister, until the day Jesus comes back, we are instructed to occupy. We are instructed to build the mountain of God upon every other mountain. We are instructed by God to be leaders in our community, to take over, not to roll over. And then when the rapture takes place and the church is out of here, then chaos, darkness, tribulation like you've never seen. For those people that say we are in the tribulation, read your Bible, we're not in the tribulation, and I'll talk about the rapture soon, that the rapture will take place at the beginning of the sorrows, at the beginning of the tribulation. God's going to take his church out before the tribulation. Then the chaos will demand a political figurehead, which is the Antichrist, to bring order to the world. Imagine 1.5 billion Christians out of this world. Suddenly you take light and salt out of this world. Imagine the fear, the uncertainty, what CNN is going to say, that the aliens came and took a third of the world population, but we know it's the rapture. And that's going to take place in the twinkling of an eye. And the Bible says we need to look forward to that day. The Bible says, as was the days of Noah, and Noah and his family escaped the great flood, so will be the days of the coming of the Son of Man. We are going to escape this great tribulation. We are going to get out of here at the right time. But until then, we have a job to do. We have places to go. We have messages to preach. We have lives to change. We have societies to reform. We have to become a Moses generation. Oh, come on, I'm talking to somebody. You may be a lady, you may be a man, but you better get ready. Whether you're 20, whether you're 17 like David, whether you feel weak and the least like a Gideon, you better get ready for God to have an encounter with you, because the Lord is with you, mighty man of valor. This is your time. Shout amen and give the Lord a praise if you believe it today in Jesus' name. You know, we're good at prayer, and we should pray, and prayer is always the first resort, but it doesn't help the doctor pray, and he doesn't operate. You get it? Huh? Sometimes through prayer, we hide our light under the bushel, because it's easy to die, to be resurrected with Christ, and to take responsibility takes a fight. And we find Moses where he lost his fight within, and he lost his fight concerning or pertaining to his destiny and his vision, like many people, many pastors. I sat in a meeting this week and one of the leaders tried to steer the meeting, very old, influential, charismatic leaders in South Africa. We met together. And the one person wanted to come with, what is the church going to look like post-COVID? I said, well, let's go to the Bible. Acts chapter 2, a church of glory, a church of victory, a church of dominion, a church that is taking over, a church that is taking territory. Come on! Jesus is not coming back for a church in defeat. He's not coming back for a church in hiding. He's coming back for a church that is glorious and triumphant. And I'm telling you, South Africa, we are going to reform this country and eradicate poverty by 2030 in Jesus' name. We are going to see a great economy. We are going to see a great education. We are going to see a great future for our children. You don't have to send your child to America. You don't have to send your child to Canada. You better dig your heels in right here in South Africa and say, let us build a better future. Let us build a better South Africa. Let us build a better tomorrow by the grace of God and by the power of the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Oh, come on, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Somebody this morning, just give Him a praise. Let's shift some things in the atmosphere. Let's get rid of the unbelief, the depression, the despair, the discouragement. Let's give Him a mighty praise. Hallelujah. Ready, 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 ready for a move of God. Ready, 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 ready for an encounter with God in Jesus' name. This is our time. Come on, lift your hand. Say it this morning. Say, this is my time in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God comes to Moses, and there's a purpose. You know, when the Holy Ghost broke out in South Africa many years ago, it brought the vision, not the Holy Spirit, the understanding. Some people so embraced the presence of God that all they wanted to do was fall over in a half carpet time. I'll tell you something, there's nothing like being touched by God. But when God touches you, it's always because God has a purpose. He's not your adrenaline kick every Sunday. He's not your charismatic dose. He's your God. And when He shows up, it's to get your attention and to move you into what He predestined you for. In a moment, like the rapture, the Bible says, is going to take place in the twinkling of an eye. Think about that. How quick is that? A twinkling? Huh? How many twinklings have gone by just twinkling? It's a millisecond, all the intelligent people, which you all are, right? It says in a twinkling, we're just going to, where's he gone? Where's he? Not only that, the people who died, my brother, my father, your family, think about it, the chaos that died in Christ. Their bodies are going to be resurrected with us in a twinkling. Graves are going to pop open everywhere. It's going to be chaos. But before then, listen, we have a job to do. And it's not a job to sleep. It's a job to watch. And that word watch is a verb. It means we have to be involved. We have to engage. We cannot look the other way. We cannot not come to the fire of God. We cannot sit on the sofa and sit in a place of comfort. We cannot sit in a place of mediocrity. We cannot sit in a place of self-centeredness. We cannot sit in a place of survival. We have been born for this time. And according to Matthew 24, and I'll share it with you, the last prophecy that still has to be performed, everything else has happened, is this gospel of the kingdom must first be preached to all nations, then the end will come. It's the last thing, final thing on God's agenda. Final thing on God's agenda. Why do we have to eradicate poverty? Because God hates poverty. God is against any form of oppression, mental, spiritual, physical. But poverty estranges people from God. They can't believe that God cares because of individuals that are raping the wealth of this world, trying to establish a new world order. You have to be asleep not to understand these things. That the agenda behind this COVID virus is very clear. Don't be so silent when I'm telling you the truth. So in the midst of this, whatever you want to call it, you have to be wide awake. And you have to know what your purpose is. And the only way you're going to know your purpose is to have an encounter with God. Now remember, Moses knew God. Moses was taught in the ways of God. Moses then grew up in the courts of Pharaoh, and he understood the gods of Egypt. So when God comes to him, Moses has this wrestling within that we all have. God says, I'm the God of your fathers. I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God says, paraphrasing where you can read it, he says, I've seen the oppression of my people. I've come down to deliver them. That's what God says. Okay, so what does prayer do? Prayer says, okay, God, deliver South Africa. God, heal South Africa. God, blesses South Africa. And what's the conversation that God has with Moses? He says, come now and I will send who? You. So education will not be reformed if somebody does not go. That's why the last words of Jesus was, go into all the world. Preaching the gospel is to bring social justice. Preaching the gospel is to give hope to the poor. Preaching the gospel and healing the hurts and the broken hearted of South Africa is to reform society, to make South Africa safe for our women and our children, to deal with every rapist and every child molester, to preach the gospel, to get these people saved before they can embark on a life of crime. That's why we will never change South Africa without the church. Now I understand many people have the picture of a church as a building with a tower and a bell. They don't understand the church. The church is glorious. The church is powerful. The church is purpose driven. The church changes society. The church is the light of God. The church is the voice of God. So we're not talking about a building where we just hear a 3-point sermon. We're talking about a place where people come together to encounter God. And where God places His people, every one of them, in society, exactly where He wants them. And saying to them, you are a difference maker. You've been wandering aimlessly in the wilderness for too long. I've now come to get your attention. Wants to get somebody's attention here this morning. There's a ministry God's been talking to you about for a long time. There's something you have to do in society that God has spoken to you about for a long time. No matter your hurt, He's going to use your hurt to heal the hurts of others. No matter your pain, He's going to turn your scars into stars, and He's going to use you for His glory. Come on. He's going to give you beauty for ashes if you will allow Him to have His way with you. So the first thing is God calls him. The second thing is, I said, call, vision, journey. The second thing is God gives him vision. And God says, I've come to deliver Israel. So we pray. We know the promises. We know God wants us to have a great South Africa. Africa, Kenya, Nigeria, not trying to exclude the television viewers, Russia, wherever you are. And God says, I've come to deliver. Everybody's waiting for God. There's the catch. There's the catch. Unless somebody goes, come now and I will send you. No, not the person next to you. I know you're being paired, or you are paired 2x2 coming to the ark. The ark of safety, the church, amen. And he says, I'm going to use you. I'm sending you to be that teacher, to become that principal, to become that influencer, to become that ward counselor, so you can become the mayor, to become that person, so eventually you can become the premier, to become the minister, to become the president, to become the director of the company, so that you can bring reform and change and liberate the oppressed. Listen to me, liberate the oppressed, not live a life for yourself. That's where Christianity turned into a swamp. People wanted a God encounter without purpose. Can't find it anywhere in the Bible. Every conversation God has with any purpose is a conversation that ends in purpose. Every time somebody comes into God's presence. Now listen, when we lose purpose, vision, we perish. When we don't live purpose-driven lives where my purpose is to survive, where a large portion of the church is right now, let's just hang in there. They just hang in there. I call them white knuckle Christians. They just hang in there. And hanging in there is not going to change anything, right? Because Moses was just hanging in there for 40 years. He's a deliverer. He used to be a mighty man. He had a lot of confidence in his own skill, his own ability. And maybe the journey of failure had to bring him to a place to become God-reliant so that he could lead a nation, a rebellious people, into the promised land or to the promised land. God allowed all things to work together for good. Because Moses learned from that day to become a lover of God and a lover of God's purpose and a lover of God's presence. And from that day, he served his God and he served the purpose and the presence of God. And that took him to serving people to lead them out of bondage into a land of liberty. Why does the government disrespect the church the way they do? Because for them, most churches can shut down and nobody will miss it. Except for a glory moment. But that's not who the church is. We are the salt. We are the light. We are the hope of the world. We are the pillar and the crown of all truth in society. I'm talking about the church of power, the church empowered by the Holy Ghost. And we're going to see this week, God's going to raise up people. God's going to take nobodies. God's going to turn them into somebodies. God's going to take Samsons that have been tied to the mill, grinding away at the same mill around and around. People that have become blind, people that have lost their vision, and God's going to give them one more chance, and they're going to run for God again. God's going to take the Gideons, and God's going to turn them into mighty men and women of God. God's going to take the Jonas that have run away from the call of God, and God's going to bring you back to the fire, and God's going to say, get back to your position and do what I called you to do in the name of Jesus. God's going to find Peter that went fishing, and God's going to go look for him exactly where God found him, and God's going to bring you back, and you're going to be a great leader, a great man. Your greatest years are ahead of you. Your best days are ahead of you. Your greatest days of glory are ahead of you. All you have to do is draw near to the fire, and you're going to see what God is going to do for you. Come on, don't give up on your husband. Don't give up on your friend. Don't give up on your child. There's no telling what God can do when you get yourself in the presence of God. Come on, I'm talking to somebody this morning. You feel the fire, you feel an unction in your belly. It's time to come alive, time to rise, time to stand up, time to be that man, that woman God called you to be. If you feel the fire of God in your belly, give him a bit of a praise this morning in Jesus' name. Even the camera person, whoever you are. So God finds Moses in a place of failure, and God calls him, and not once does God talk to him about his past. I mean, Rulani, 40 years. God just says, come. Now. Now. Not tomorrow. Not when you feel right. You know, people say to God, this is the conversation many people have with God. I first want to do this, then I'll do that. Really? You're talking about God who holds your breath in his hand, who holds everything in the palm of his hand. You want to treat God like that? That's why maybe Moses became his own God. I don't know. That's why God said to him, you have to take something off. You have to let go of something. You have to let go of your failure, your fear, your disappointment, your disillusionment, your identity, whatever it is. You have to let it go. You can't come to God with who you are in the flesh. You have to take off the sandals. That requires humility and surrender and trust. Where the voice that remains is his voice. And yet God has a conversation. I mean, imagine you gardening and one of your bushes are on fire. But it's a fire like you've never seen, and the bush is not consumed. And then there's a voice from the midst of the bush. Moses. Moses. Because that's how you think God speaks. Moses. That's what we think. So the supernatural is to get your attention. We don't live in at the supernatural. So people want to live in the miraculous. The miraculous is to get your attention. God did a miracle for you to get your attention. To connect you to him and to his purpose. He starts out with this conversation. He says, here I am. Then God reveals himself. Then God comes and God says, come now, I'm going to use you. And here is the conversation that many of you have made in your minds while I'm preaching. But who am I? I'm uneducated. I'm the least. I don't have anything. I just want to survive. He says, who am I? Who are you? He says, send somebody else. Isn't that what we want to do? Total abdication? Hello? Listen. Total abdication. But I say to people, if you don't, who will? If we don't, who will? If we don't fight this fight, my generation, who's going to fight the fight in the next generation? They're not qualified. They don't have the power. They don't have the leadership. They don't have the guts. It's not their time to fight this battle and to slay this giant. And let me tell you, for God to ignite the fight on the inside of you, there always has to be a giant. We don't run away from the giant. We don't hide from the giant. We man up to the giant of unemployment, of education challenges, of poverty, of corruption, of GBV, like many of you are going to man, woman up this Saturday in Jesus' name, and you're going to amplify your voices together, and you're going to say, enough is enough, enough is enough. If our children can go to school, they can come to the house of God. We want our children trained in the ways of God. Is there a lady here today radically on fire? You can say amen. I hear you, Pastor. I'm ready, Pastor. Come on, girls, we need you to woman up at this hour, to stand up at this hour for the next generation's sake. We always fight a battle for the next generation, never for ourselves. So this call for Moses, he was comfortable, was not for him. It was for others. You know, I always also had a Jonah moment once in my life. Do you want to hear about it? No. You say yes. I wanted to buy a boat and just go sail away with mainstay. I had those thoughts for a week and then I remember Jonah. I remember Jonah. I said, no, I'm not having a fish swallow me. I'm going to come to my senses before I climb on a boat. Hello, how many of you know what I'm talking about in Jesus' name? Sometimes the pressure is on. It seems like all hell breaks loose on every side and you think the best thing is to get out of here. No, the best thing you can do is to stand up, man up, show up, get into the presence of God and let the fire of God reignite the passion, the fervor and the fight on the inside of you. Shout amen. Give him one more praise before I close in Jesus' name. Come on. Come on, Pastor. Some of you have been asleep for too long. Get up on the inside in the name of Jesus. Get up in Jesus' name. Get up. Wake up in the name of Jesus Christ. Let God ignite the fire in you. Well, this is the start, but I want to say to you on TV this morning, God loves you. You're valuable and you're precious. Moses took one step in the right direction, and so can you. He encountered the great I am, and so can you, by giving yourself to Jesus. That's where it starts. Come on. This morning, say it. Say, Jesus, I give my life back to you. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Come on, give them all a big, big, big hand clap. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information on CRC, visit www.crc.org.za.